Father in heaven, we ask blessings on the words shared today, that we would certainly be encouraged that you are the God of living hope. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. When I was around 6 years old, my five-year-old brother was playing in a neighbor's house. And then I remember this strikingly, even so many years ago, I heard my brother scream. It wasn't the scream of laughter, it was the scream of pain. I remember at the ripe age of six watching my mother hop a fence, and I watched neighbors come running. My brother had gone over, his name is David. David had gone over to a barrel that was burning trash. And there, being a child, the ripe age of five, he had no idea that that trash can was hot. And he looked into the barrel, looked over, a little guy reached over to look in, and his knee hit the hot barrel and burned it badly. I remember my parents grabbing him and taking him to the ER, and they took care of the burn on his leg. But from that day forward, my brother has always had a scar on his knee. And even now, many years later, of course, he's bigger now, he's not five. That scar is still there. It maybe shrunk in over the years, but I saw him this summer there walking in his shorts, and you could still see the scar on his knee. The scar, as you're hearing me share the story, has always become a memory to our family, a story to be told. What's a scar? A scar is the body's natural way of healing damaged or lost skin. It's a natural way of healing. Scars are naturally permanent. How many of us have scars? Yeah, look around. We'd like to say, no, my skin's like a baby's body. But we are all covered with some kind of a scar. It's all there. And I just want to say, after worship, when we're shaking hands, I do not need to hear the stories of your scars. Because I shared my brother's. Go to lunch and share your scar story with each other. Our gospel lesson really does speak of some pretty impressive scars. And I'm noting this, plural. Note they're plural scars. Jesus is hung on the cross. Nails are pounded through his hands. And then later, to prove that he was dead, they pounded a spear. They shoved a spear into his side. In essence, his skin was permanently damaged. This became so obvious when Jesus appeared to the disciples the day of the resurrection. Y'all remember that he rises from the dead on a Sunday, and then he appears. We begin to see these appearances of the resurrection. He pops into a room that was filled with the disciples, which, by the way, I think is kind of a great entrance. He doesn't knock on the door. He just pops in. Wouldn't that be fun? All of a sudden, you're there. And he pops into the room, and just to duly note, he physically popped into the room. This wasn't some kind of spiritual thing or some essence of spirit. He physically popped into the room, and he stood before them in all of his humanity, and these disciples could see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. You know what they could see were the beginnings of the scars. Now, we all know the story that unfolds. Jeff read it a minute ago. Tom isn't there. Mr. Thomas, for whatever reason, isn't there. When he's told about Jesus, as often happens, he had some things to say that he regretted. Do you ever have things to say that you regret? His got recorded for all time. Why was he not there? We're not told. Thomas, also known as Didymus, which we read in our reading today, means twin. So Thomas was a twin. He was one of the 12, it says in the text. Was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." We have no idea why he wasn't present. We're never ever told that. For all we know, he could have been running errands for his mother or having lunch with his twin. We have no clue why he wasn't present. By the way, if it was for his mom, we know that mothers can be very demanding, and he probably didn't have a choice. His response is so very striking. He says, "But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe.'" And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, the reading tells us, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Again, he just pops in, kind of a habit. And he says to them, "Peace be with you. Shalom be with you." And then he looked at Thomas. This has got to be great. Because he wasn't in the conversation when the disciples told him, but he knew. And he looks at Tom directly. Ever been called out in class? Ever want to hide in a group of people? I chase students. They can't hide. I chase them. It's very unnerving to them. I do it on purpose. I have told my students more than once, because they pay tuition to go to school, I say, "You have paid tuition so I can inconvenience you, and I'm delighted to do so." Jesus points out Thomas. He looks at Tom. "Tom, come here. Come here, boy. Come here, buddy. Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas's response, which is powerful. We're not told if he actually touched the holes. We're not told that. Thomas says to him, "My Lord and my God." Now, before we beat up some more on Thomas, I want you to think about the circumstances. Who could have imagined such a thing, that someone died and then resurrected from the dead? Who could imagine? Don't you think he had a right to wonder? Who could imagine such a thing? And then even more so, Thomas has the gall to say, "I want to touch the scars." And those scars were fresh and healing. They were still red. Remember, Jesus appears physically. It wasn't like divine healing took place and the scars were gone. The scars stayed there. I do find it so interesting that the glorified body of Jesus had nail scars on his hands and the spear scar on his side, and he's glorified. Jesus is a human, and the skin that was raw from Good Friday, I expect, was starting to heal on Sunday. And there everyone can see the scars that Jesus had. They could see it. What I find so striking is that Thomas, for the very first time, acknowledges that Jesus is God. So when we say Thomas is the doubting Thomas, when you see the phrase, "My Lord and my God," this is the first time in Scripture where we actually see a person say out loud, "Jesus is God." And why would God allow the scars of Jesus to remain? Why leave them on the body? Is it so? How about this one? By seeing the scars, it would be forever a reminder of our own sin, our own brokenness. Could that be the reason? Could it be that the scars are there to continually remind us of our own guilt and our own shame and our own shortcomings. Could it be that? But I'm here to tell you that that would be out of character for God. That isn't how God works. It says this in Romans 8, verse 1. It says, I declare to you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So those scars can't be about guilt. They can't be about shame. They can't be about remembering our sin. They have to be about love. They have to be. Because, folks, what I said at the beginning of my message, what do we know about scars? Scars tell powerful stories. Scars tell powerful stories. They do. Scars were made by God. They were His idea, which I find very interesting. He made human skin to heal, and many times they heal through scars. And some scars that you have may have little meaning to you, but other scars may have a lot to say. Because scars tell stories, like my brother's. Once Thomas put his hands in Jesus' nail-scarred hands, maybe he put his hands there, maybe he touched them, everything changed. Thomas declares, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is God. For as much grief as we give Thomas about his doubting, he was the first to call out that Jesus is God. The scars of Jesus turned a doubting Thomas into a devoted disciple of Jesus. It changed Thomas. The scars were a call to death and resurrection, and that all who receive Jesus are set free from damaging scars. We're set free from them. We're forgiven of them. And do we have damaging scars? Do you and I have damaging scars? I think so. The physical scar, oftentimes that's the easy one. You can look at it, tell the story of something that broke and got fixed, a surgery and a healing. But what do we do about the scars that are spiritual scars? What do we do about the scars that are emotional scars that simply hang inside of us? And scars of when we're young, emotional hurt, spiritual hurt, they become scars into our adulthood and we remember. I wish I could say, and you who are older know this, I wish I could say to the younger, you'll get past it. And I guess you do get past it, but you never forget. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You can get past it, but you never forget. There are things that I'm simply embarrassed about that I've done in my life that I just don't forget. It's been a long time. You manage it, but they don't go away. We all have those emotional and spiritual scars that hang on inside of us. And what they can do, and I've seen this happen, these spiritual and physical, spiritual and emotional scars, they can stop us from receiving love. They become a barrier to receiving love because that scar becomes kind of like a barrier, a wall. In fact, we can believe that we're not worthy of love, that we're not worthy of it. There's this country, I listen to country music. Does anybody else in here listen to country? Oh, good, I'm not alone. All right. And some of you are going to be disgusted by this because we're going to play a country song in a minute. There's this country song that I heard on the radio a bit ago by a game, what's his name? Jelly Roll. A guy named Jelly Roll. Anybody heard of Jelly Roll? Oh, yeah, now they're applauding. Now they're applauding for Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll, when you see a picture of him, has definitely got a story. And let me just say there are a lot of scars. Some of them we call tattoos, but they're... But he came out with this song, and I didn't really know who he was when I first heard it, but the song became so gripping to me, and it became painful. It was actually painful His message in the song isn't particularly a happy song. What we're going to do, I'm going to say the chorus. I'm going to read the chorus to you. And then, Jacob, I'm going to have you play the song. Are you ready? Don't hit play yet. Let me say the chorus first. Then I'll tell you when to hit play. And I will tell you when to stop. Okay? So when I tell you to stop, stop. Because it's a four-minute song. If you want to hear the four-minute song after worship, Google it. All right, now, this is what the chorus says. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams.
One, two, three. Like it's all that I need. Something inside of me's broken. I hold on to anything that sets me free. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams.
Okay, Jacob. Anybody want to cry? So I can read the chorus. But then when you hear the guy start singing it, you realize he's coming out of something deep in his belly. And he does have a story. And he's gotten past the story. But he feels the damage of the scars. Now, what I find so striking when I listen to this, because I remember the first time it was on the radio, then it was on again. And then it was on again. And it was like it was on the loop, you know, it was one of the top 10 songs. And you kept hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Well, why do you keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it? Because people are resonating to it. They're resonating to the song. So we talk about spiritual scars and we talk about emotional scars. And then this guy sings this song and he says, I'm a lost cause, baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. And there are millions of us who believe they're damaged beyond repair. And it breaks my heart because I've been there and I have felt that. And there are some of you in here that may feel that very same thing today, that you're damaged beyond repair. So you can go listen to the rest of the song. It doesn't necessarily have a happy ending. It's called Save Me by Jelly Roll. Save me by Jelly Roll. Save me. That's why I'm so struck by Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says this, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, talk about emotional and spiritual scars. Throughout Paul's life, When he writes the Gospels and he writes about Jesus, like Romans 8, which we read, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, he's speaking to himself because he has felt condemned. He has felt like damaged goods that were beyond repair. He was the violent man. He was the persecutor. He's the one that harmed the kingdom of God. He's the one that went after the followers of Christ and killed some. He was the lost cause. He was. See, over the next 40 days, we're going to be doing this Forgiving Challenge small group series. And the title of the series is actually called Scars. It's called Scars. That's pretty exciting. It's intended to be a study that has us do some thoughtful reflection. It's intended to be a study that has us consider our own faith walk with each other. We're talking with each other. It's an acronym he has created, the author, who is a young Missouri Synod pastor from Nebraska, Zach Zender. He created SCARS into an acronym. He said this, S is for sin, and you can see, oh, that's on SCARS. There's an S. Oh, yeah. The C is for confession. Oh, there's a C in SCARS. Repeat this one. A is for absolution. And R is for restoration. And S is for sanctification. You see, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to go on a journey together on Sunday mornings with the sermon series, and then your small groups may, depending on how often they meet, every other week and so on, could go up to 12 weeks, all with the intention that you will have a time to explore your own faith walk and maybe some of the bruises that you may feel, some of the scarring that you may feel in your own life, and have a chance to maybe walk through it, because this is what I've learned. When I've studied the works of the Apostle Paul, And I just read an article recently that really kind of spoke to me, and I put it in a good sentence. The author said this, a guy named Andrew Wilson. He said, when you study the Apostle Paul, you find out that Paul, listen to this, that Paul is absolutely obsessed with grace. He is absolutely obsessed with grace. I thought, obsessed? I'm married to a woman that gets obsessed about things. She focuses on things, and boy, the house gets really clean, and I better move. She's obsessed on it. She is just focused, tenaciously focused. Think about that. If you could be tenaciously focused on grace, undeserved love, you could be focused to say, God is love, and that is the essence of who I am. For I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. I am the one who's damaged. I don't deserve to be loved. But the one who died on the cross and has the scars on his side and his hands, that one says you are worthy of being loved. So no surprise that all 13 letters that Paul writes, half of the New Testament, always start out with Paul saying, grace, peace, and mercy to you. Grace, peace, and mercy. Because you see, he knew the emotional scar and the spiritual scar. And that we would all be, everyone in here, would be obsessed with grace. For in Jesus, you are most certainly made worthy. In Christ's name, amen.